We wanted to know if there were any poems Robert Hass was turning to. He was America's poet laureate from 1995 to 97. He's also translated poetry and edited the book Best American Poetry 2001. We called him at his home, and he told me that he had been asked to speak at a memorial service attended by 12,000 people at the University of California at Berkeley, where he teaches. I asked him what he said.
You know, I think I said that we were a community of that took its meaning from teaching and learning, and it seemed like the lessons of the last week were ones that I don't know if they can be taught. The courage and resourcefulness of you know, the policemen and the firemen and the ambulance drivers and doctors and nurses were one of the most powerful things about the weekend. I don't know if there's any way to teach people to respond that way. You know, one hopes that one would. That was one thing. And another was that way in which it just brought us up against the mystery of our lives, the way death does, you know, people going about their business. One friend of a friend described on the internet his being saved by, at the last minute, deciding not to go into a meeting because he passed a bakery two blocks away where he smelled cinnamon rolls, which he resisted the scent of. And then when he got to the World Trade Center and was about to go into the building, he thought, oh, what the hell, and turned around and wandered back toward the scent of cinnamon buns. When, you know, reads the stories about everybody, the person who just was phoning a wife and the person who was just starting to trade bonds and the person who was just booting up their computer, suddenly gone. So, finding a language for that. And I had just seen in the New Yorker a translation of a poem of Czesław Miłosz that I had done with him. He is just 90 years old. In September, his 90th birthday. So this is a poem written when he was 89 that I thought spoke to this you know, for this mystery of what, who we are, what our lives are. So I read that poem. It's called In a Parish.
Can you read it for us?
Sure. Were I not frail and half broken inside, I wouldn't be thinking of them who are, like me, half broken inside. I would not climb the cemetery hill by the church to get rid of my self-pity, crazy Sophies, Michaels who lose every battle, self-destructive Agathas lie under crosses with their dates of birth and death. And who is going to express them, their mumblings, weepings, hopes, tears of humiliation, in hospital muck and the smell of urine, with their weak and contorted limbs and eternity close by? Improper, indecent, like a dollhouse crushed by wheels, like an elephant trampling a beetle, an ocean drowning an island. Our stupidity and childishness do nothing to fit us for the sobriety of last things. They had no time to grasp anything of their individual lives, any principium individuationis, nor do I grasp it. Yet what can I do, enclosed all my life in a nutshell, trying in vain to become something completely different from what I was? Thus we go down into the earth, my fellow parishioners, with the hope that the trumpet of judgment will call us by our names. Instead of eternity, greenness, and the movement of clouds, they rise then, thousands of Sophies, Michaels, Matthews, Marias, Agathas, Bartholomews, so that at last they know why and for what reason. Czesław Miłosz.
That's a beautiful poem. I bet it had really different meaning for you while you were translating it than it did after the attacks of last week.
You know, I don't think it did. I think in a way it's the power of poetry at any given time that it has its nose up against mortality, so that it gets intensified when events roll up against it, so that we hear it more clearly. But when I was actually working on the language, it seemed to speak powerfully to our condition. It still does.
You know, this might be something you don't care to talk about, but I wonder if your dreams have been affected by the attacks and your concerns about the future and your worries about the dead.
Yeah, I went to sleep, I guess, two nights in succession, and the second I was asleep, I was digging in ashes. I went straight to the dream of trying to save those people under there. I'm sure it was just the seeing of the image of the collapse of the tower. Such a terrible thing. And then there was the what everybody seemed to be going through, you know, trying to locate friends or family who might have been in harm's way. Then the kinds of the sort of second set of alarms about how the country was going to respond, and all the uses of language that happen when drums of war start beating. But I think I was feeling there's that other great lines about psychological pain and loss of Emily Dickinson's, you know, she says, after great pain, a formal feeling comes. The nerves sit ceremonious like tombs. I think I felt that for a couple of days.
You said that you've been writing. Is that any writing that you could share, or is it still,
no,
is it not ready?
It's not that it's not ready. It's that it's worse than my maunderings to you now.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for talking with us, for reading for us, and I wish you the best. Thank you very much.
And you, Terry.
Robert Hass was the poet laureate from 1995 to 1997.